And turn to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you will find Psalm 121 on page 516. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to carry that Bible in the pew home with you. Consider it a gift from Bethany Baptist Church to you this morning. This week, Lord willing, we're going to see 1 year close and another year open, 1 decade close, and another decade open. It's a time of reflection upon the year past and a time of anticipation for the year ahead. It should be a time of thanksgiving for the tender mercies and kind provision that God has shown to us in days gone by. And it should be a time of resolve in our dependence upon His tender mercies and kind provision in the days to come. It's a good time for us to recall that we are a people in deep need of help, and to focus on the fact that in Christ we have an awesome source of help. And for that reason, we're going to read the 121st Psalm this morning. We sang Isaac Watts' hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," because although that hymn was actually inspired by Psalm 90, it certainly communicates the truths that we find in Psalm 121 as well. That hymn is an expression of our experience if we are believers in Christ. We recognize that our lives in this world are fleeting. Perhaps as 1 year closes, 1 decade closes, perhaps we recognize that fleeting nature even more pointedly. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream, dies at the opening day. Life is fleeting. We are but pilgrims here, and our pilgrimage is short in view of eternity. And it's shot through with many dangers, toils, and snares, to quote another old hymn. But in Christ, we know that we have a very present help in time of every trouble, a rock that is sure and steadfast, a tower that is strong and safe, amazing grace that will lead us through our entire pilgrimage and into eternity. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Psalm 121 calls us to confidence in God, our help. Give your full attention to the reading of His Word. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. Father, this is Your Word, and Your Word is able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Your Word is profitable for the maturing of the believer. And so we ask, God, that You would empower now the preaching of this passage of Your Word, that we might clearly see Christ, that we would all come to Christ, and that we would grow in Christ. Speak, Father. We ask You to speak, Jesus. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. For we are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 121 is the second of the Psalms of Ascent. So there are 15 Psalms with the title, A Song of Ascent, beginning with Psalm 120, going through Psalm 134. And these Psalms were written to accompany the people of Israel as they were making their journeys, their pilgrimages to Jerusalem and to the Temple Mount, where the presence of God dwelt among them, to observe annual festivals and services of worship to God. So Psalm 121 is a pilgrim psalm. It's a traveling song. It's a song to be sung on the journey to God's presence. And the psalm considers this journey as a symbol of life itself. The pilgrimage in the psalm is a parable for the whole of one's life. And this traveling song is a song about protection. Protection for the pilgrim. You see, the journey to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, it was one that had with it many difficulties, many dangers, and protection was a pressing issue. But again, Psalm 121, the pilgrimage is a parable for the whole of one's life. You see, the road of life that we travel upon is one fraught with many difficulties and dangers, and protection is a pressing issue. Psalm 121 gives the only sufficient answer for that protection. O God, our help. As we begin to dig into this passage in some detail, I want us to make a couple of preliminary notes. First, this psalm can be divided into two parts. Part one is verses 1 and 2, and part one has to do with us, the pilgrims, keeping our eyes on God. Part two is verses 3 through 8, and part two has to do with God keeping his eye on us. So part one is an expression of faith and confidence, and part two is the reason for the faith and confidence. Part one is what you and I must do, and part two, which is the longest part of the psalm, is what God will do. So we could say that part one is the faith that you and I must have, and part two is what we're to preach to ourselves in order to strengthen that faith. That's the first thing to note about the psalm. And then the second thing to note is concerning the pronouns of the psalm. The pronouns of this psalm are all first person and second person singular. So, English lesson, right? All right. So, in part one of the psalm, we read, I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. So, that's first person singular. I, my, okay? Part two, we have repeatedly the pronouns you and your, and they are that second person singular. Now, I want to point that out because sometimes when we're studying through passages of Scripture together, I often point out that God's Word addresses second person plural. Remember how we point that out sometimes, how many of the commands in Scripture are directed to you, plural, y'all, right? But that's not the case in this psalm. In fact, there's only one verse that addresses the plural aspect of God's people, and that's verse 4, where it's not a pronoun. It says, Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. That's the only verse that addresses God's people in plural, in the plural sense. The rest, the yous and the yours in verses 3 through 8 are all second person singular, which tells us that this wonderful psalm is very intimate. This beautiful psalm of protection, the Bible is addressing you as an individual believer to give you personal assurance and confidence in the God who looks after each and every one of his people. It's not just that God looks after all of his people, although that's certainly the case, and the psalm says so in verse 4. But it is that God looks after you intimately. He gives you personal and individual protection. The Almighty is your help, believer. That's the second thing to note about this psalm, and what a blessed note that is. So with that, let's look at part 1 in verses 1 and 2. Here's part 1. Pilgrim, keep your eyes on the Lord. So verse 1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now there's somewhat of a difficulty in translating this verse because the original Hebrew, of course, did not have any punctuation. And the term hills could communicate a couple of different meanings. And so some translations, like the translation I'm reading from here, ends verse 1 with a question mark. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? So in that case, the hills would be representing those dangers, those difficulties that the pilgrim faces along the way. The hills are steep, and the path is treacherous. The hills can hide robbers and bandits, enemies that would seek your harm. If you've watched many Westerns, cowboy movies, you know that common scene where the good guy in the story is riding his horse along a trail, and there are tall hills all around him, and then suddenly a rock is dislodged from the top of one of those hills, and it rolls down the hill, leaving a cloud of dust in its wake. And what does that tell you? There's somebody hiding up there. There's a bandit up there, and he's plotting evil. Well, pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem would have faced similar dangers. Their trail was treacherous. And so the psalm reflects upon that trouble that the pilgrim faces in his journey. So let's bring this home to us today in our lives. You and I, we have burdens that we struggle with bearing. See, we have many dangers, toils, and snares that we face along the journey of life. And see, what we're prone to worry. We're prone to anxiety. We're prone to fear. It might be troubles in your marriage. It might be hard times on the job. It might be difficulty in finding a spouse or a job. It might be health problems. It might be some incessant temptation to sin that just will not leave you be. It could be any number of trials. And then the hills, they can become barriers, right? You know, that somehow seek to keep us from reaching our final destination. And so you begin to worry, am I going to have the strength and the stamina to finish? Am I going to make my journey successfully? I need help. From where does my help come? It's a question. Other translations put a period at the end of verse 1. I think of the King James Version, the old authorized. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Okay, so that's a statement. And in that, the hills are more of a symbol of God's presence, that help that is surely coming. You see, Jerusalem and the temple was on a mount. The journey to Jerusalem and the temple was uphill. And that way, the journey was filled with peril, but the pilgrim is keeping his eye on the destination. He's keeping his eye on that place where God's pleasant presence dwells, and he's trusting that God is going to empower him to make the journey successfully. That God will see him safely into his presence, period. Amen. I like both translations so much, I don't think I'm going to pick between the two of them. I think I'll just learn from both. You see, whether the hills are those dangers and difficulties that we face in the journey in life, or whether the hills are a symbol of God's presence, his sustaining presence for us, regardless, verse 2 speaks to the heart of the faith-filled pilgrim when it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And notice in that verse that the word Lord is in all capital letters, which tells us that this is that name of God that the scribes refused to write down out of reverence. It's that name of God that God revealed to Moses when he told Moses, I want you to go down and lead my people out of bondage in Egypt. And Moses understandably said, but Lord, who am I to do that? And God said, but I will be with you. And Moses said, but when the people ask me for your name, what am I supposed to tell them? And God said, I am who I am. I shall continue to be that which I have always been. From everlasting to everlasting, I am God, and I will be with you. That's the name that we find here in Psalm 121. The great I am is the God who says to his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your help, believer, comes from the great I am. And he made heaven and earth. The verse tells us that. So if he made it all, what in it all could overcome his will or might? I mean, think about that. What could you face? What burden could you be facing that would be too heavy for the heaven and earth maker to bear for you? What danger could be so deep, so great, as to be too much for the almighty creator of all things to handle? What trial could he not carry you through? What temptation to sin would be so strong that the almighty creator of all things could not give you the strength to battle that temptation? The Bible says in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What can you not overcome if your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth? Now, when we read, my help comes from the Lord, you need to own them, those words. You need to make sure that those words, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, you need to make sure those words are your very own. Which means, first, you need to understand, you need to confess that you stand in need of help. You will not make the journey of life successfully without help. Amen. Amen. You will fail miserably and to your eternal doom without help. Without God, you are helpless. You must first confess and recognize that you stand in need of help. You must own these words in that way. But also to say my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth means what it means to confess with great confidence that you got that help. That you have assurance and confidence that that help belongs to you. That your help from the great I am is without question and is utterly sufficient for your entire journey through life. And if you are in Christ by faith, you have that help. It is yours. Because the Almighty God of Psalm 121 has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Conceived in the womb of a virgin, the one whose birth and incarnation we celebrate at Christmas, the one Mary sang of when she said, he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant, and he who is mighty has done great things for me. The man, Jesus, who said of himself, I am. The God who came, who took on flesh and entered into our world of sin and burdens and peril, and he has overcome by the blood of his cross and his victorious resurrection. The God-man Jesus who says to us, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. If you are in Christ Jesus by faith, then the Bible tells us that you have been given the right to be called a child of the great I am. A child of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we can trust, brothers and sisters, that our Father in heaven will always help his children, each and every one. Pilgrim, keep your eyes on the Lord. That's part one. With that, let's look at part two in verses 3-8. And part two is this. Pilgrim, the Lord's eye is always on you. Now in this psalm, we move from the expression of faith to the reason for faith. So in part one, we have, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I, my, right? But now in part two, we have these yous and yours repeatedly. So what's happening here is this is either an internal dialogue in which you preach to yourself, look in the mirror, you know, and you say, the Lord is your keeper. So you preach to, or this is a dialogue between one another in which we preach to one another. Brother and sister, he will not let your foot be moved. But either way, this is a divine declaration to us in which God is preaching to us. And what God says is, I will keep you. And that's in fact the verb that we find peppered throughout the rest of this psalm. In part two of this psalm, we find this verb, keep, six times. Some translations use a different English word or verb that means essentially the same thing, like preserve. But in the original Hebrew, it's one verb, shamar, and it appears six times in verses 3-8. And shamar means to keep. The word keep refers to protection, preservation, a safe place, a fortress. I couldn't help but think of the movies that were based on J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings as I was preparing this part of the sermon. You know, there's a scene, and I think it's the second movie, if I'm not mistaken, there's a scene in which the forces for good are in this vicious battle with the forces for evil at Helm's Deep. And the forces for evil appear to be gaining the upper hand. And there's a call that rings out among the forces for good. To the keep! To the keep! A keep is an impregnable fortress. And what Psalm 121 preaches to you, believer, is that the Lord is your keep. So let's consider this protection that the Lord gives. In verses 3 and 4, the Lord's watchful eye keeps you safe. He will not let your foot be moved, the verse says. Now that's talking about slipping, stumbling, and falling off the path that leads to your final destination. So pilgrims making the journey, they were always in danger of slipping, tripping, stumbling, and falling. And so in your life's journey, you're going to face many obstacles that are going to be, that could trip you up and could turn you from the way. There will be bends in the trail where you will encounter blind spots, and one wrong turn, one wrong decision can result in great danger for you. So how will you stay on the straight and narrow way that leads to life? Answer, he will not let your foot be moved. The soul that says, Lord, I so easily trip and fall. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to leave the God I love. And if you do not lock me away in the fortress of your might, I would be lost forever. I put no confidence in myself. I put confidence only in your help, God. To that humble soul, the great I Am thunders from heaven and says, I am with you. The Lord is your keeper. There are no blind spots for him. His eye is ever watchful over his own, the great shepherd of the sheep. He doesn't sleep or slumber, verse 4 tells us. You know, pilgrims are in need of sleep. If you want to know, if you want to see a very clear demonstration of your need of help, consider the fact that you must sleep. Go without sleep for long, and it's going to affect your mind, your body, your entire person badly. And when you're asleep, you're at your most vulnerable. Then you're unconscious. But for the believer, yeah, to lay down and go to sleep is a time of wonderful worship and testimony to our watchful and faithful God, because he who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Elijah pointed to this truth when he said to the prophets of the false god Baal, you remember when their false god was not hearing their prayers. He wasn't answering, and so Elijah said to him, maybe he's asleep. So Elijah's confident assurance was that his God never sleeps. And such is our confident assurance. So you can lay your head down, believer. You can lay your head on the pillow at night saying, thank you, Jesus, that you've got this. You've got me. You are my keep. Peter tells us in his first letter to the church in the New Testament that we are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The Lord's watchful eye keeps us safe, and we can be confident in that. Jesus will not let your foot be moved. He will not let you stumble off the way that leads to life everlasting, not if your confidence is in Him. He won't let it happen. Amen. Now, that we need to recognize that the Christian life is a life of spiritual warfare. So as we read this, we don't need to, make the wrong assumption of thinking that this means the Lord is going to keep us safe from the battle. No, what this means is that the Lord is going to keep us safe in the battle. See, if there was not any danger, then there would be no need for a keep. But there is danger, and that's why I'm glad, for one, I'm glad that I can say the Lord is my keep. Think about the dangers that Job faced. I mean, if you ever read through the book of Job, I mean, here's a man, the book starts off saying he was a righteous man, But man, wow, look at the dangers that he faced. The devil came after him with fangs bared. I mean, Job could have lost his faith and all that, right? I mean, he could have just lost it. Off the road, off the path, off the way to the that leads to life everlasting. No. Because you know why? Because the devil could only go as far as God allowed him and no further. There is an ever watchful Lord who is sovereign over your every trial, every one of them. And you can trust him in the thick of it, trusting that he, just like he did with Job, he's going to make you better on the other side of the trial. So let's consider the Lord's protection. In verses 5 and 6, the Lord keeps you as your shelter. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. This speaks of protective shelter by day and by night. For one traveling during the day, the sun is a powerful force to be reckoned with, especially in a desert region. We send mission teams to work in the Sahara Desert in Africa. And I can tell you, as we're walking through those villages in the Sahara Desert, the sun is a powerful force to be reckoned with. The sun is a great danger. And shade is always a welcome sight. Prolonged exposure to the sun can bring dehydration and delirium. So this is speaking to the Lord being our shade, our protective shelter by day, but also by night. So when it says the moon shall not strike you by night, that may be referring to the moon illuminating you, like exposing you to enemies. Its light exposing you to enemies that may lurk out there in the darkness. Or it may be referring to the idea that the moon can have an effect on people's minds. There's a reason why we talk about mental disturbances as being lunacy. We speak of lunatics. And the idea that the phases of the moon can have an effect on people's minds, although it's never been scientifically proven, it's never been scientifically ruled out either. But the point of all of this is that the Lord is our shade, day and night. He is our protective shelter. I couldn't help, though, as I was thinking about this part of the psalm, I couldn't help but thinking of a testimony that I heard one time, a lady who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And she was a believer. And she was at first distraught, not so much in what she knew she was going to face. No, what she was distraught about was that she said, I'm afraid there's going to come a time when I may not remember my Lord, that I may not even remember that I'm a Christian, that I have a relationship with Jesus. And then not long after that, someone saw her again, and she was just overflowing with peace and joy. And they said, well, what happened? And she said, well, the Lord made sure that I remembered that even if there comes a day when I forget him, there will never come a day when he forgets me. That's the Lord who is our help. He is our shade. He is our protector. Verse 6 is just an example of Hebrew poetry that gives you a pair of extremes and includes everything in between those extremes. So the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night, is just another way of saying that you have 24-hour-a-day watch care from the Lord. He is your shelter. We sang another old hymn this morning that says, thou my best thought, by day and by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Let's consider the Lord's protection. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord keeps you in every part of your life and for eternity. So the psalm moves from your daily steps in verse 3, he will not let your foot be moved, to the totality of your life in verses 7 through 8. He will keep you from all evil. In the theme of another great psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we can be sure that our Father in heaven will always hear and answer that prayer. He will keep your life through every imaginable hardship, every imaginable temptation, every imaginable trial and pain. He will keep your going out and your coming in, which is just another way of saying wherever your feet may take you, he will keep you. He will keep your life from this time forth and forevermore. What a wonderful truth to preach to yourself, believer, and to preach to one another. That right now, the Lord will keep your life. Right now, this moment, he is your keep. From this time forth. So every moment that you're going to encounter in 2020 and the decade beyond, every moment you're going to encounter, including that moment when you depart from this life, the Lord will keep your life. Throughout your entire pilgrimage, he is your keep. But it doesn't stop there. Into and throughout all eternity, the Lord will keep your life. When you finally reach the top of the mountain, when your journey's complete, and you're standing in the very presence of God, and you're looking the Lord Jesus in the face, he is your keep. Pilgrim, the Lord's eye is always on you. The late 1800s, there was a ship that was making a voyage from England to New York. And somewhere in the middle of the Atlantic, the ship encountered a squall that knocked it sideways. And it was the middle of the night, dead of night, and so many of the passengers got up from their bunks and they got dressed and they were fearing the worst. And among them was a little eight-year-old girl who was the daughter of the captain. And she asked the other passengers what was the matter, and they explained to her that a squall had knocked the ship sideways and had caused a great alarm. And the little girl asked a single question. She said, is my father on deck? And the passenger said, yes, indeed, your father is on deck. And hearing that report, the little girl got back into bed and went back to sleep. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever 2020 and beyond may hold for us collectively or individually, our Father's on the deck. And knowing that, we can rest with complete confidence. Our prayer is that of the hymn that we sang. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while life shall last and our eternal home. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you and praise you. What an awesome, awesome passage of Scripture this is. Thank you for inspiring these words that would embolden and strengthen our faith in a God who is always and ever our help. A God who has reached out to us to save us and to make us your own, to make us your children. So we can trust, God, that no matter what we face, you're in control and you love us and you will exercise your strength and power in our lives to bring us safely to your presence. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making this all possible, that we should be called children of God. And we pray, I pray, God, that every one of us in this room, each and every person would know this confidence, would know that because their faith is in Jesus, they surrendered their life to Jesus, that they can trust always in the ever-present help of Almighty God. God, if there's anybody here that does not have that assurance today, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Lord Jesus, that they would today turn from sin and surrender their lives to you as their Savior and their Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.